Smart litigators find winning arguments faster with Bloomberg Law. Our market-leading docket coverage has AI-driven search and analytics, customized alerts, and expanded state court coverage. And that's not all. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com for everything you need to win.
If you're thinking about merging your company with another, or you're an attorney working on a merger, you're going to want to listen to this. On today's episode, we sit down with the top antitrust litigator at the Department of Justice and find out how her squad of lawyers operates. Hello, you're listening to On the Merits, the news podcast from Bloomberg Law and Bloomberg Government. I'm your host, David Schultz. Today's guest started in her current job in 2022, where she leads the team at the Department of Justice that takes companies to court over antitrust issues. It's a new division, and as you'll hear, it was put together by DOJ antitrust czar Jonathan Kanter as a way to bring together lawyers who know the ins and outs of complicated economic competition laws with lawyers who know the ins and outs of a courtroom. Hetal Doshi is that top litigator. She's the Deputy Assistant Attorney General overseeing civil and criminal antitrust litigation. She's already scored wins blocking mergers in the airline and publishing industries, and now, working with FTC Chair Lina Khan, her division is going after big tech with cases against Google and Apple. Doshi spoke with two antitrust reporters, Bloomberg Law's Danielle Kay and Bloomberg News' Leah Nylon, about her approach to these lawsuits and why it's so important to her to make them understandable to the average person. Leah started off the interview by asking Doshi why she and her boss set up this new unit.
The idea was to say, you know, how do we take lawyers, some of which are deep antitrust experts and specialists, and others who are specialists in the courtroom and in trying cases, and bring them together in order to vindicate competition issues in the most persuasive and powerful and accessible way for Americans. And so as part of that vision, Jonathan brought on someone like me who is bringing a little bit of a different perspective to how these cases should be tried. And he also understood, and this is also true about my background, that the through line to all of my work, particularly my public service work, has been very focused on structural integrity of the markets and fairness and transparency in those markets. After all, that's what white-collar prosecution is fundamentally about as well. And so there is a lot of overlap in terms of the animating principles behind the kind of fraud work I did before and antitrust work, which is what I do now.
So I'd like to drill down a little bit into the litigation unit that you've been standing up. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've been doing that and how you have been focused on getting more people to come in and focused on litigation?
It was important to make sure that the additional folks that we brought in as part of the litigation program had good, you know, many of them have great, rich antitrust expertise, but a lot of them are like me in the sense that they know their way around a courtroom. They're really comfortable picking up new things in terms of substantive areas, but also procedural questions like navigating the HSR Act and merger litigation is very different than a criminal trial, for example. And so someone who has facility to be able to pick up something quickly and is intellectually curious and has just that really sustained comfort level in the courtroom was really important.
There's been a lot of debate lately about the budget for the federal government and how antitrust has faced some resource constraints over the years. How have those sort of budgetary hurdles affected your guys' effort to boost the litigation?
Well, I think first, we're incredibly grateful for the budget and the resources we do have. And I should tell you, you know, taking off my antitrust division hat here for a moment, I gotta keep it real in terms of my former life as an assistant U.S. attorney, right? Like, the issue of resources is a salient one all across the department, and it's across law enforcement in general, state or federal. I think one of the most powerful things that the AAG and our current leadership at the Department of Justice, all the way up to the very top, has done is to really support understanding and recognizing that antitrust is in the zeitgeist. It's having a moment because it reflects the needs of the American people today of really backing these efforts, right, in terms of resources and support. And so we now, part of the animating principle behind the litigation program was to be able to say we should be able to litigate at scale because the number of antitrust problems facing America that's part of our charge and mandate, it's not one, it's not two, there are several. Right? We're always going to be out-resourced by the other side, or as Chair Khan, I think, has recently put it, you know, we may be out-manned or out-womaned, but we're certainly never going to be outmatched. And I don't think that there is a linearity necessarily between resources and our ability to vindicate competition in the courtroom.
Chair Khan has mentioned a couple times that, at least for her agency, some of the litigation they're doing, it's like a 10-to-1 with the other side. I know in the Google case last fall, there were 4 law firms at the other table with against your smaller team. I mean, is that intimidating at all?
So my caveat of I won't comment on any pending litigation, which, you know, that is, of course, in that bucket of pending litigation. So let me zoom out here for a second and say, as this is a tale as old as time in terms of the government being out-resourced by private litigants, and that's okay. And the reason that that's okay, you know, is that we have to make decisions in terms of how to efficiently allocate our resources in order to achieve the best outcome for our client, the American people. And so that may mean that we have to make decisions earlier on about priorities and other things, but that doesn't compromise our ability, as you've seen in some of our concluded cases, right, in terms of presenting a coherent, persuasive narrative in court. Like, more isn't always better. Sometimes more is more.
So you all have several landmark cases that are in the works. You have 2 against Google, 1 against Apple. I know those are ongoing, and so there's very little you can say, but I wondered if you could talk about why you think it's important to sort of litigate the big cases.
I think that, you know, it will not surprise you that in general, I'm always reluctant to say bigness is a proxy for anything without more. And so I think the way that we think about it is, you know, what is the lived experience of Americans on a daily basis or people across the world? And so it's hard to imagine industries like these and others that don't touch on the daily lives of people. And so that is often a way that we think about harm and think about impact. And so that probably is reflected in the work that we do.
That was Leah Nyland speaking with the DOJ's Hetal Doshi. Bloomberg Law's Danielle Kay takes over now, and she asks about a few of Doshi's suits that have already wrapped up.
So let's talk about one closed case that maybe, you know, you're able to discuss a little more freely. Back in 2022, when Penguin Random House wanted to acquire Simon & Schuster, a major book publisher merger, the Justice Department sued to block and succeeded ultimately in blocking. In that case, there were some really interesting, you know, labor market arguments, right, that seemed to sort of reflect the fact that the division really is looking beyond consumer welfare, beyond prices and other types of potential anti-competitive conduct. Can you talk a little bit about how that specific win, blocking that book publisher merger, you know, has sort of shaped how you might be viewing labor market arguments in some cases?
Absolutely. So as an initial matter, you know, the Penguin Random House case and that trial is near and dear to my heart as a fellow book lover and someone who appreciates the importance of storytelling, right? There's a clear narrative between being a trial lawyer and appreciating literature and books. And so I mentioned that to say we brought some of that to that trial. That team did, right? A lot of them are also book lovers. And in thinking about that, I think there was a real connection between the idea of what it means to be a creative person, someone who puts creative work out into the space, and what compensation for that looks like. And so, sure, you know, in terms of the doctrine, we think about that as like, Penguin Random House is an excellent example of a labor monopsony theory at work. But at its core, in the way that that case presented in the courtroom, it was really about the unremarkable idea that people who do work, whether it's creative or otherwise, deserve to be compensated for that work. And so that case, I think, will stand and endure the test of time in terms of establishing that important principle that labor harms are just as important and recognizable and cognizable in courts as any other kind of harm. If we are litigating cases inside an echo chamber or like in a very narrow technocratic way that only other lawyers can understand, then we're failing to do our jobs, because that's not what Congress intended with these incredibly simple, straightforward antitrust laws.
And to talk about just another recent closed case in the airline industry, the high-profile attempted JetBlue-Spirit merger that the Justice Department also succeeded in blocking. Are there certain litigation strategies that you would point to that you think contributed to that win for the division?
I think that the Spirit JetBlue trial is a really good example of this idea of accessibility at work, right? Because airline mergers and the analysis of proposed deals in the airline space have a rich and robust body of doctrine and economics that underlie that. But I think that one of the things that really came through in that trial effectively, and that I'm quite proud of our team for, is really taking that doctrine and the economics, all of which is sound and important, but personalizing it and contextualizing it to the experience of a traveler, right? And so you see in the court's opinion that the court saw and credited the idea of a college student who's thinking about going back home to San Juan, Puerto Rico, who lives in Boston and is going back to San Juan, and what the impact of that merger would be. That is, in our view, exactly the way that courts should be thinking about these questions. And it's a credit to our trial team that they were able to take a lot of that doctrine, but to personalize it and humanize it in some ways. And so I think what the team was able to marshal well was the combination of that doctrine, but also then leveraging the, like, do we see that there is enough, that there are enough options for cost-conscious customers in this space? That doesn't square with our understanding of reality, right? And so that was an important through line that came through for the trial.
That was Hetal Doshi, Deputy Assistant Attorney General, speaking with Bloomberg Law's Danielle Kay. Before that, you heard Doshi speaking with Bloomberg News' Leah Nyland. That'll do it for today's episode of On the Merits. It was produced by myself, David Schultz. Our editor today was Greg Henderson, and our executive producer is Josh Block. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Finding relevant docket filings is crucial to winning your case. That's why Bloomberg Law is here to help you pinpoint winning arguments faster than before. Our best-in-class docket coverage just got better with enhanced AI-driven search and analytics, lightning-fast customized alerts, and expanded state court coverage. And we've substantially increased our litigation news coverage, so you'll never miss a beat. Don't miss the tools smart litigators rely on. Visit pro.bloomberglaw.com today and get everything you need to secure big wins.